Sometimes I tell off on myself because I do things that are not really bright. No. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that vote of confidence.
Amen.
But a couple days, well, it's been longer than that now because it was before I got my foot bunged up. But I was at the at Walmart standing in the pharmacy line, which whenever I get there is always about 40 people long. And I was wearing a crew neck shirt with a pocket on it. And the man behind me, I guess he just couldn't stand it anymore. He tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Say, bro, where you get that shirt?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "Man, I've been looking everywhere for one of them shirts." I said, "Really?" He said, "Man, you just don't know how hard it is to find a shirt with a pocket on the back." I said, "Brother, do I have my shirt on backwards?" He said, "No, you just got a pocket on your back." not the brightest light on the string. Thank you very much. I have, when those reality show, the Survivor type shows first started, the first one I remember was called Survivor Man. And this dude would put himself in different places, and all he would take with him is like bare necessities and his camera. And he would go out there and show you that he could survive it. And he was out there by himself. Since then, those things have just blown up. There's one on every day on every channel. And when I first started watching those, they kind of upset me because, you know, sometimes you find yourself in a situation that is not play, and they're making games out of it. They send people out to see if they can survive, and they have a TV crew following them around. Well, there are several of those on right now. One of them, I'm not going to tell you the name of it. It has to do with being unclothed and afraid. And another one is called The Legend of Mick Dodge. And that is the goofiest show I've ever seen. This Mick Dodge, if you ever have an opportunity, just tune in one time. You'll see what I'm talking about. This Mick Dodge supposedly lives out in this jungle. And he, like the unclothed people, runs around those jungles barefoot. And that freaks me out. Because especially since I've had so much problem with my feet. But those people run through those jungles, and Mick Dodge, they were following him around the other day, and he was showing them how he was going to get 9 miles up the mountain to get his mushrooms that he needed to eat for the winter. And during his travel, he showed us how he makes shoes. He wallowed his feet in pine sap and then walked through dirt and leaves and twigs and things and let it stick to the bottom of his feet. That's how he made his shoes. But they didn't work. Because the next scene, you see him running through the woods, and then he's hobbling through the woods, and he's got a spike this big through his foot. So things like that just kind of mess with me. For one thing, feet are anchors, and you don't realize how stable or how unstable you are when one goes out until one goes out. I wasn't picking on you, Karen, just because you had a little incident today. And Dan was so good to inform everybody. Hey, well. But I was watching golf. This sitting on my rump in front of the TV, looking out the window because that's all they want me to do until my foot gets well. I've even watched golf. I've watched golf on television. I don't see a lick of sense in that. They whoop that ball, and then they chase it down the field, and they whoop it some more until they get in this little hole in the ground. There used to be a comedian called Cousin Bubba, and he said they wanted him to take up golf. And he said he asked the guy, the pro, So what was the object of the game? He said, well, there's 19 holes out there, and the person that gets their balls in the hole and has the fewest strokes wins. And he said, does heart attacks count? he said, I could probably make it without having a stroke, but I don't know about a heart attack. But the golf announcer was criticizing the way the man anchored himself, the way he stood. He didn't anchor his feet before he swung the club. And I've noticed the same thing when you're watching baseball. They want that pitcher to anchor one of his feet, the back end or the front end. I thought they were side by side, but apparently a pitcher has a back foot and a front foot, and they want one of those anchored. So I got to thinking about anchors. Whenever I was trying to put this together, it should be nice if I could see what I had written here. But I started thinking about anchors, and then I listened to that song a couple times by Ray Bolt called The Anchor Holds, and for some reason I thought that I could sing that song, but I got talked out of that. And you should all say praise the Lord, because when you listen to Ray Bolt sing it and you sing along with him, man, you sound just like him. But when you take him away, it all goes away. But anyway, according to the song, the anchor holds, and I believe that because there's been several times in my life that I didn't think I was going to survive the storm, but God was faithful. But you know, whenever we are making an analogy between anchors and life, if we anchor ourselves to the wrong thing, it's as detrimental as not having an anchor, or sometimes it's even worse than not having an anchor at all. And I heard about some guys who were in a fairly good-sized fishing boat, and they had been out fishing all day, and they saw a storm coming. So they decided they better spool up their anchor and get out of there. Well, the anchor was hung. They couldn't get it loose. So they tried to reverse the boat, and whenever they did that, the boat almost capsized. It pulled it down in the rear and almost capsized. So they kept on working until they got in a panic. And finally, they decided they would cut loose from their anchor. And sometimes, folks, when we've anchored ourselves to something, it's hard for us to cut ourselves loose. We get ourselves anchored to some things that we had no business being in the first place. And one of those things that people anchor themselves to that's hard to get loose is hopelessness. When you fall off into hopelessness, it's a hard anchor to cut loose. Yeah. Whenever one of those TV programs I was talking about, and it's my favorite, the Survivor-type deals, it's called Alone. And they take 10 different people and put them in 10 different locations, and they give them just very few things to use to survive. And they're out there totally by themselves. Now, the rest of those shows, they'll tell you, now, Marty is 11 miles from home, and he has to get back before dark. Well, what's going to happen if he doesn't? I mean, and what's going to happen to the two cameramen? And what's going to happen to the producer and the sound man? Well, on Alone, they're alone. They're out there by themselves. And in the last episode, they interviewed all the people who were going to be participants in that. One of them was a black man, and he was mouthy about what he was going to do. He was talking to the homeboys and telling them, man, them bears mess with me. He said, I'm going to come back 20 pounds heavier and wear me a bearskin coat. Well, they dropped him out there, and next thing he saw was the boat coming back after him. He made it 4 hours. He didn't even make dark. But the man who finally won the thing, I was pulling for him all the way through because he was a former missionary. And he said, I'll never be alone. He said, I take my crew with me everywhere I go. So there's four of us everywhere I go, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and me. He said, I'll never be alone. And then he made it 67 days, and he was the last man standing. But I had a point to this. I wish I could remember what it was. But these folks were, all of the other guys, all the other folks, in fact, the one that almost made it, the one that left David to be the winner, started out kind of mouthy, and before the end of the thing, he was on his knees begging God for help. And he would tell you, he'd turn to the camera and said, there's just no hope out here. No hope for finding food, no hope for anything. And when you fall off into hopelessness, I think I Googled, I don't remember. Somehow I got hold of this, but whenever I typed in hopelessness, if I can read it, this is what came up. It's Nahum 3. It says, woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. The crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses, jolting chariots, charging cavalry. Does it bother you when somebody messes up those two words and says Calvary when they mean cavalry? Oh, it eats me up. I want to strangle whoever it is. That movie with The Rock. The last scene in it, the woman says, I'll be glad when the Calvary gets here. And he steps up and says, I am the Calvary. And I said, my goodness, all those producers and all those, but they couldn't even get that word straight. It says, the crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses, jolting chariots, charging cavalry, flashing swords, glistening spears, many casualties, dead bodies everywhere. Now, whenever I read that, my mind immediately went to Nice, France. My mind went to Dallas, Texas. My mind went to Florida. My mind went to California. What is going on? I heard an interview after the last, I think it was the Dallas, where they killed the Dallas police officers. And one of the high-ranking officials in the police said, it's just a hopeless situation. He said, whenever we're called somewhere, if we don't go, we're condemned. If we do go, we get killed. He said, it's a hopeless situation. So whenever we find ourselves in a situation that we consider to be hopeless, that's a hard anchor to turn loose of. It's a hard hole to dig our way out of. Another thing that we find ourselves in sometime that's hard to get loose is sadness or depression. And one of the participants on my show, I'm sorry I keep going back to it, but it apparently made an impact on me. He was a veteran, and he worked with veterans trying to help them get through PTSD and things like that. And he said that one of the things that he wanted to do is draw attention to 22 veterans a day commit suicide. Such a depression and sadness falls over them that there's something that they just can't dig out of. It's an anchor that they've hooked to and they can't get loose from. 22 veterans a day commit suicide. Nehemiah 2 says, so the king asked me, so why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart. Is there a remedy for sadness of the heart? Certainly there is. But you have to accept it. You have to cut loose from that anchor. Another thing that will grip us if we are not careful is fear. This is a scary time we live in. Amen. If you listen to anybody other than the president who says everything's fine. The president says this is the safest time, this is the least violent time. These are scary times we live in. Fear is something that we, if we anchor ourselves to it, it's hard to turn loose of. Deuteronomy 128 says, where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are, and the cities have large walls that reach the sky. That's the situation that a lot of our cities find themselves in. You hear, if you look through Chicago, little kids walking down the street getting shot down. I think there's something like 3,000 murders in that city since the beginning of the year. 3,000 people just mowed down. These are scary times, and when we grasp onto fear, it's a hard anchor to turn loose of. Another thing that people have a hard time getting loose from is the past. You want to always think about how good it was in the good old days. And I have gotten to be a connoisseur of gun smoke lately, since, you know, I have the time to do that these days. But about 1 out of 3 gun smoke shows the poor old man, the poor old miner, has been off in the mountains for 27 and a half years, and he dreams of the little town called somebody's gulch or gorge or whatever, and how lively things were. And he's got sacks and sacks of gold that he can't wait to get to town with. So he finally makes it to town, and there's nothing there but a dust bucket. There's no people. It's just old buildings and things like that. And the show, another one, I'm sorry about this TV stuff, called American Pickers. But these guys go from town to town to town looking for antiques. And they've been through Louisiana, and you see these little main streets with the buildings boarded up. There's one building out of 10 still operating. The rest of them are caved in, and it kind of looks like downtown Spring Hill. I mean, all these vacant buildings and where businesses used to be. And people find themselves tangled up in their mind, remembering how it used to be. Lamentations 1 says, "How deserted lies the city once so full of people, how it's like the widow who was once great among the nations." But people get tangled up in how it used to be, and they get so tangled up that they can't cut that anchor loose and move on. The good news is we can cut the anchors loose. We can cut loose from that all that other stuff. God's made provision for healing in our lives. And a lot of times when you start trying to pull that anchor up, and when you start trying to pull loose from things that have held you for a long time, that anchor is wedged. And you can't just dislodge it and spool it in. You have to cut loose from it. You have to totally turn it loose. Acts 27:40 says, "Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea." Just cut them loose and left them there. First thing I talked to you about was hopelessness. What's the opposite of that? Hope. And God offers hope, and he gives that to us. All we have to do is ask. Psalm 25:5 says, "Guide me in your truth. Teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you." Psalm 25:21 says, "May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my Lord, my hope is in you." Psalm 39:7, I bet Daphne could do it. could quote these. She loves her some Psalms. It says, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." And if we look back to what the king says, it says, "So the king asked me, 'Why does your face look so sad if you're not ill? This can be nothing other than sadness of the heart.'" Well, the opposite of that is having hope and joy in the heart. And joy is another thing that God offers us. That's another anchor, another place that we can drop an anchor is in the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10 says, Nehemiah said, "Go in joy. Choice food and sweet drinks." Or around here, we'd say some catfish and sweet tea. "And send some to those who have prepared nothing. The day is holy." This day is a holy day of our Lord. "Do not grieve." I wish I had typed this right. "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Psalm 31:7 says, I will rejoice. I will be glad and rejoice in your love. So whenever we get tangled up, it's hard sometimes to, if you start thinking and looking around at all the garbage that goes on, especially if you watch TV as much as I have lately, there's always something on there that will bring you down. There's always something on there that will steal your joy. But the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength, to find joy in His presence. And whenever we talk about being stuck in the past, whenever we get stuck in the past, we don't realize that there's a hope for the future, a blessed hope for the future. Amen. And something, 2:13, I forgot to actually write down the book, but something 2:13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the key right there. Jesus Christ. If we let God come into our lives, if we accept Jesus as our Savior and we drop our anchor in that blessed hope that He offers and let it lodge there, we live happily ever after. And the last thing that we talked about on the other side was fear. In Acts 27:29, says fearing, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, fear will disable you. Fear will get, I saw a program and they were talking about especially animals. So when an animal gets so scared, they get to where they can't move. Fear will totally disable you. It will get you where you cannot function. You won't go outside. You won't talk to anybody. Fear will disable you. And Acts 29:27 says, fearing, but they don't stop there. It says, fearing that we'd be dashed against the rocks. Fearing that something bad was about to happen. It says they dropped four anchors from the stern and started praying for daylight. So folks, when fear starts to try to sneak in and get you to drop that anchor on it and tries to reel you in, this is a very good verse to remember. Fearing that we'd be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and started praying for daylight. My grandma always said, I'm going to beat the daylights out of you. But I think this case, praying for daylight, because, any time that we reference God or Jesus, He's referenced as the light. So when you're in a hard time, start praying for daylight. The Bible says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. My goodness, I wish I could read that. I will strengthen you and help you and uplift you with my righteous hand. So God promises help to us whenever we're afraid. And we don't have to cower in fear. All we got to do is turn our face toward heaven and ask God for help. And Hebrews 6:9 said, we have this hope. It is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Firm and secure, it enters the inner sanctuary and behind the curtain. And before that, if you read the backup part of that, that was a promise that God had made to Abraham. And God fulfills His promise. God makes promises to us. God makes statements to us. And God, the Bible that tells just a couple verses ahead of that, that God is a man that He cannot lie. It tells that He swore this. Whenever He makes this promise, He swore it. And since there's no higher power, He swore it on Himself. Swore it by Himself. So, my prayer is that if we have anchors that are pulling us down, we have things that are we're tied to that we just can't turn loose of. Instead of trying to keep tugging on that old anchor, we just cut it loose and let it go into the sea. And then we anchor ourselves to something that can help us. We anchor ourselves to God. I had a different ending to this, but I don't remember what it was. I'm sorry, I get a little bit nervous up here. But that's my prayer for all of us. And whenever we sing the song, when we all get to heaven, I have confidence and I have faith that we will. I appreciate your attention. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Webster Community Church or any of our other ministries, you can find us online at www.agspringhill.com.